Well, we have the pleasure this morning of a doubleheader. Steiger International is a ministry that we have supported here at Chapel Hill Church for a very long time, as long as I've been here and beyond. And along the way, we have picked up missionaries, and we've deepened our partnership with Steiger. And this morning, one of our newest missionaries, Enrique Martinowski, is here, and he's going to share a bit about what God has been doing through his ministry. And then Well is going to come after him. And if you've been looking at his name in the bulletin or elsewhere and trying to figure out how to pronounce it, I just said he'll tell us how to pronounce it because it's a challenge. So they are going to share with us this morning a little bit about what God's doing in their ministries through Steiger. And there are some exciting things to come. So Enrique, will you come now and share a little bit about what's going on?
Good morning, church. Good morning. It's a huge pleasure to be here. My name is Enrique. My weird accent is because I come from Brazil. And so I'm a visual artist, graphic designer, illustrator, video maker, but I left everything to serve God like a full-time missionary here in Minneapolis. And I am with Steiger Mission, and we have this deep broken heart for young guys who are not going to the church are not going to them, and there is this gap of these young adults that they are lost, they are broken, they are confused, and who go to them and preach the gospel in the language that they understand. So God called me to be part of and to understand what God has been doing here in Minneapolis. I think it's good to go back a little bit, some years ago. So some years ago, we have this group of young adults from other churches together with this broken heart to reach these young guys that are lost. And we decided to go to this building of this event called Art Crawl on St. Paul. It's a building full of artists sharing their arts. So we decided to go to them, intentionally to speak with them, try to understand what they are trying to share with their arts, and have spiritual conversations, gospel conversations. So we went to this place with this group of young adults and start to share the gospel, start to have conversations with them. And was everything going well? We exchanged connections, contacts, and suddenly everything changed. We basically was expelled from this place. They discovered that we was part of this Steiger, and we was there to evangelize, and we don't have more access to these guys. And our hearts are still broken for them. We are not having more access to them. So we pray. We start to pray and try to understand what we can do it. And because of my background, I decided to give steps to become a local artist here in Minneapolis. And each one of these arts have good bridges to have spiritual conversations and gospel conversations. So along this time, after that, I start to be very intentional on these places, engaging with artists, and have my art, me being an artist among them. And one of my friends from this scene, he saw what I was doing and he invited me to his art event. He was part of this board, the board of the event. And when I discovered was the same art event that we was expelled some years ago. Now I was there inside of that event like a guest artist sharing the gospel for these guys. And not just that, I brought with me all my team. And we was there with this evangelistic tool called The Greatest Masterpiece. You can see on that corner is like a covered art, The Greatest Masterpiece. And we ask, what do you think that is the greatest masterpiece? And the people think, and oh, the Mona Lisa or whatever. And then when we reveal that, is a mirror that show them their faces. And we can share with them that they are the greatest masterpiece ever, created by the greatest artist ever. And we was in the middle of this art event, sharing the gospel with them. And we have been seeing God open doors to re-engage with them. And the story don't end here. Like, because of this, I have the opportunity to engage with other friends from this space and have discipleship and relationships from this event. So imagine now I'm meeting with these guys on coffee shops, having 2-3 hours of deep gospel conversation. So this is what God has been doing here. Weeks ago, I was in the Halloween market with them. I was in the fall art crawl event with them. And God has been doing amazing work here. Our frontline team have been now having gospel conversations, Bible studies for non-religion with many of these influential guys here. And I'd like to say thank you, because you guys are part of that. Thank you for your prayers, for your support. This is what God has been doing here, and I just like to say thank you. Thank you so much. I will pass now the word for Valerie. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hello, church. Good morning. Sorry, my voice is too loud. It's good, because we need to wake up, especially me. If you hear this weird accent, I'm from Ukraine and I live in Ukraine, and I will do my best to try to talk to you so you would understand my language. But not my language, English, but it's really interesting. I mean, I sometimes create in my own words. So, yeah. Okay. My name is Valera. I'm part of this ministry, Steiger International, for 12 years. I'm really old. I have a wife, beautiful wife. She's here in America, and we have beautiful daughter Camila. She's 2.5 years old, and she born during the war in Ukraine. But this is another story. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for having us. This is big privilege for me, especially because every time I cross in border with Ukraine. In Poland, this is a miracle, because the men from 16 to 60 not allowed to leave the country because of the war. All of them need to be on the front lines. So I have special permission from government always to come to US and talk about the situation in Ukraine. So, and for me, it's a miracle that I'm here. And I came here with the one small gift for you, church. And I will show it on this service and also on the second service. And I need Oleg's help. There's Oleg. He's from Ukraine as well. And so I have for you, church, a flag of Ukraine. But this is not just a regular flag. Oleg, help me. Opposite side. So this is a flag of our country. And this is the contour of our country. And the main cities where our teams are presented in Ukraine. So here is the front line. This part is occupied. And all of these guys, there is the names you can pray for. This is our missionaries in all of these regions, who is serving, who is reaching young people during the war, who is going to the front line, who is preaching gospel there. And a lot of people ran from the country during the war. About 10 million of people, can you imagine, left the country. We're a country with 45 million population. 10 of them left. And so some of guys were taken from the streets to the front line, Sasha, Kirill, Roma, so you can pray for them as well. So this, we will give this to you guys, so you would remember, you would pray for missionaries, for those who are in hardest time, they're not run, they stayed to serve and be answered, okay? So this, it will go to you, and I will do the same thing on the second service, and then I will give this to Pastor. Okay. Yeah, guys. So I, as I mentioned, I joined mission long time ago. I was this young guy. I believe I'm still young, but I was this young guy, and I remember how evangelistic band No Longer Music from the Steiger Ministry came on my own. I remember we had this amazing concert in the center of the people. 2,000 young people came to the show. Okay, secular, not believers. And then in the end of the show, I remember how David preached gospel, and about 100 people, young people in my city, they raised their hands and they said, "I want to know more about Jesus." And I was staying there in this summer, like in August, and I was youth pastor in my church, and I was thinking, "Wow, what just happened? I never seen something like this in my city." And my heart was shaking so much. And I understood one thing, that I want to be next to people like this. I want to be with them. Because I can't do by my own this life. You need to stick with some group. And I believe that God shows me, and it was beginning of my calling. And then I joined mission. My crazy life started from that morning, evening in my town in Dnipro. And from that, the ministry spread all around 7 countries around our region. At one point, we have 300 teams on the street sharing the gospel in different countries. 300 teams, not the people, teams. So it was huge. God used our ministry so much. But then war started. And everything changed for us. I don't know why you are hearing here about the war in Ukraine, but I want to ask you one thing. When you hear about war in Ukraine, please don't listen all of those rumors. Don't think about politicians. Think about ordinary people who is going through this, who is suffering, like me, my wife, or others, millions of others who never choose this. And this war is in Ukraine is something that I don't know. This is not something small that happened somewhere in the corner, you know? So for you, just to show the scale of this, we had highway from Kyiv to Zhytomyr. Zhytomyr is the city, and highway is about 100 kilometers, it's about 80 miles, all this highway. Half of this highway was 40 miles, was full with the civilians' cars that get shot. Can you imagine the scale of this? It's huge. This is not something on the corner. And our front line is few thousand kilometers. Till now, about 1 million of the men, they died or injured. 1 million. This is not a game. This is real situation. So when war start, me and my wife and our ministry that we're doing, we were about reaching young people, reaching this generation who get lost, who are not coming to the churches for answers because they live in this society with the different worldviews. Everything that around us is telling you that you are in the center, man in the center, secular humanism. I'm do everything I want to do. This life all about me. And this is the wrong. We can't find solutions by ourselves to questions, main questions of this society. And so we were reaching these people, but when war start, we understood that we need to do other things as well. We need to respond to the biggest questions of our society, and it's war. So we decide to mobilize everything that we have with ministry. We start to evacuate people from the front line. We had 14 buses. Day and night we would evacuate people. And we, with the God grace, we evacuate about 10,000 people. On the way back, on the buses, we would preach to them. Some of them lost their houses, their relatives, jobs, everything they had. So we evacuate them. The second thing we start to do, we start to bring food to the front line because some of the people who didn't evacuate, they stayed there in bomb shelters because they don't have any place to go to. No one is waiting for them there. So they stayed. And we understood that there is huge humanitarian crisis. The trucks would not bring food to the stores. All logistics stopped in the country. It's not easy, guys. This is not easy. So we were bringing the food to them. We were loading in our warehouse in Khmelnytsky all these buses. Some of them would come with the holes from bullets from the front line. And then when we were bringing the food, we would stand on our truck and we would just preach the gospel. Because on the front line, you didn't need to have so much bridges, you know. Everyone's scared. Like, no one knows who is next. And so we just preach clearly gospel. A lot of people got saved. Churches would open in the bomb shelters. And this is what God did in the beginning of war. I remember one of this story. Okay, I will not tell this story because there is kids. but there, guys, just believe me. The stories we had and miracles that God provide by saving us is just tremendous. In those circumstances, it's not possible to be atheistic, you know. God provides so much miracles. One of them is how He saved my wife and kid. When Camila born on this first day of the for second day, we were already in the bomb shelter. And on the fourth day, something happened. Can you turn on the first picture? This next one. This is next one. Uh-huh. Oh, no. Next one. Yeah, next one. So this is the place where we live in. I don't know why there are no this error, but we live right in the edge of that explosion. And God protect us. We survive. It was 15 explosions like this in my city that day. And the second thing, after all of this, we understood that we need to see, because the first one, we evacuate people. Second, we were working with the refugees, bringing the food and preaching the gospel on the front line. But the third thing we understood, and this is something I want to talk with you a little bit more. All people from the one side move to another side of the country. A lot of young people, they would leave their houses and show up in the cities and they would try to find new life. They would try to find people who would help them to overcome the challenges they are facing. And I believe that our country, and this is not only in our country, the whole world changed if we would look like 5 years back till now. The whole world changed so much. Why? First, pandemic. The COVID-19. The whole world was shut down. It's bring a lot of changes. Then, war in Ukraine. It started another wars in different countries. Then economic instability and tariffs wars. All of this forced the whole society to be in touch with something that beyond this world. Because we can't trust anything that we have. We can't trust to our government. We can't trust, okay, I'm not talking about your government, okay? We can't. It's hard to trust something that is in this physical world. We experience this in our country. And so people are forcing to start to believe something than beyond this world. They are open right now more to spiritual conversations. And this is globally. I believe this is new window of opportunity for global church to answer. Okay? It starts to talk with people about spirituality. 5 years ago, it wasn't easy to talk with people about that on the streets. Right now, more easy. The whole new market in the world starts. Like, you might hear this, you know, there are a lot of like spiritual retreats or yoga stuff. You know, people are open to those things. And we as a church need to be aware and we need to start those conversations with people and bring them truth about Jesus on the language they would understand. Otherwise, what we're doing here? Especially, I understood during the war, if I would run, what does my faith cost if I would run in the situation like that? So we as a church, we need to answer the narratives of these times. And one of the narrative is spirituality right now. We as a church need to answer that. If I would understood one thing from my mission life, that if God giving burden in your heart for something, and you see some need, and you can't stop thinking about this, maybe this is God showing you this, that you would be answered. And if you will not, He will find another person. And we will live just our ordinary life. So I believe that God has specific calling for each life. So what we start to do in our city is, when we understood that our society are forcing from being agnostic to be, from being atheist to being agnostic. Atheist is the person who choose to not believe in God. In agnostic, this is the person who opened for proofs. So while we understood this, we start to think about how we can do and give and provide a strong community for people. Community that they can feel accepted, understood. A community of the people who would help them to overcome the challenges they are facing. And we start to think about this. So in my city, I have a lot of friends in my city, and some of them, they are from government. We're working really close. And one of our guys, he had in the center of our city, really, his warehouse, but that warehouse was really bad. Like rats would run in those warehouse, cockroaches and stuff. So I went to that warehouse and I said, can I have it? And he said, okay, you can have it. So he moved from that warehouse and I started to do renovation of that warehouse. So I have one short video for you to show so you would understand the vibe of this. Can we turn on this? So it was like this, really bad, you see? And then it turned to this. So, yeah, it became like really cool cafe in the center of our town. And we're like, okay, so we have this place. What is next? God, what is next? How we can bring all of these people there? So we would like create this really cool community together. And then we start to do advertisement in different publics, in Instagram and stuff. And then we open our place, and can you turn on the next video? And suddenly all these like 100 people came from the streets. Young people, not believers, those who would never come to the church because they feel that they are too that. And they are not looking for answers in the church. So we would do there like a coffee and other stuff. Some DJ played there, some other band played there. And so like it was like create really cool vibe where it was comfortable for people to be in. Together, okay, yeah, next slide. And so then we were thinking, okay, Lord, what is next? How we can preach gospel to those people? How we can be answer for those people, how we can be there for them so they would feel from us that we're different. And we start in the, can you go back for the one slide, yeah. Not to the video, but to the, go back. This is opposite direction. Back itself. No, and one more. Yeah. It's video. Okay, then go to that picture. Okay, so we were thinking and praying, okay, Lord, what we can do? And of course, we start to do Bible studies for non-religious in our place. But in the beginning, it was really terrible. No one would want to come. It was few people, like, it was strange. Some baristas in the city were talking about our coffee shop and say, like, what are you doing there? You like reading Bible? Okay, it's interesting. It's a little bit weird, but yeah, maybe we would come, but not, we don't know. And then with consistency, we continue to do that. And I don't know, maybe you would face or find yourself in situation in life like this, that you do something, it's not getting succeed, you know? No one is coming, it's like lame, stupid, bad, you don't have cool vibe there. But you need, if you feel that God is asking you to do something, just do it. So after a year, show the another picture, show the next slide, we suddenly have, not this one, before, back. Yeah, this one. Suddenly we had 50 young people on our Bible studies every week. Drug dealers, people from LGBTQ, people who is like would never come to the church, not believers. They would come to our Bible study. We're like, wow, God, this is amazing. This is amazing. Every week we have all of those people. And we start like just to read Bible together. People who is believers and who would come to our Bible study, we would say, sorry, this is not for you. Go to your church. This is place for non-believers, for those who never read the Bible before. So we would not make it, you know, religious club. So, and all of these people would come and we're like, okay, so Lord, what we do next? We would just be with them, you know? We read Bible together, we would explain the stories from the Bibles, we would explain how we can apply this to our life, what does it mean for guys from Generation Z to follow Jesus in our century. And suddenly something interesting started to happen. Next slide, finally. So this is this is our group of the people from the Bible study. And this is picture from the church we attend to. And I will just do this. Okay, Roma got saved, Katya got saved, Yulia got saved, Katya got saved, Vanya got saved, Kolya got saved, Ilya got saved, another Ilya got saved. All of these people, like almost all of them, they got saved. They baptized. And they, but there's something interesting that they not just got saved and, you know, and they gone. They became a part of our community and they start to go with us to the streets to preach the gospel. This is not something common, you know, in our culture especially. When we are coming, when we start to come into the church and we see our guys who just got saved like two months ago, suddenly he's playing, one of them is playing on keyboard, another play on the guitar, another do filming, another do like media for church, and like, oh cool, we're getting over the church. Yeah, but this is the good, the fruits of that was tremendous. And I remember this story, I just wanted to say, finish quick, was one story of the guy, his name is Vanya. So Vanya came to our Bible study for with the thought that I will destroy this religious club. He is a really educated guy. He finished some studies for philosophy, really educated. And he came with the thought and he started just to attend, just be with us. And he started to feel this love from us to each other. Then he started to go with us to the streets to preach the gospel before he got saved. Interesting, yeah? And during that time, he understood, oh, wow, maybe I need also to have Jesus in my, I need to have also Jesus in my heart so I would talk about him. And he got saved. One of the event, he with the other group of the guys came to me and they said, Valera, we feel like we want to do next step toward to God and we want to be baptized. Next slide. And so we were in the mountains and we had this sauna next to our place. And I went to the sauna and I said, hey guys, can we baptize people in your sauna? And they're like, oh, really weird, but okay, you can do it. So we had this tube outside with the water, we baptized Vanya, and something interesting started to happen. So he immediately started to be full in for Jesus. He decided by himself, okay, I will go for 30 days, four streets. And I will preach the gospel every day for 30 days there. No one forced him for this. And we're like, okay, cool. So there's rain, like air alert, rockets are flying. He's just there preaching the gospel. And we're like, okay, so what is next for these guys, Lord? What should we do next? And we gather these guys and I tell them, okay, so guys, there is big festival in Lviv. Ukraine still do festivals, you know, music festivals, because we want to just live our life, continue it, and try to, I don't know, get away of the whole chaos that is happening. And all of them, I said, hey guys, go to that festival, preach the gospel. All of them get in the cars, they went to the festival, they start preaching the gospel, they distribute a lot of QR codes for chat, in the Telegram for Bible study for non-religious, and we opened first Bible study in center of Lviv in the bar, next picture. And I was there with my daughter Kami. It was first time of her being in bar. But all these people came to read the Bible in the new town. And this is not the end. The Vanya, he created the project with which he's going from one city to another city, where he gathered secular people, they play music, and then he preached the gospel. And I'm praying that God would give us like 1,000 guys like Vanya. You know, war is doing something when you experiencing the war is doing something for you. Suddenly, the things that you were thinking in is important in life, suddenly they are not. Your values changed. Your worldview is changing. And I don't want to collect in my life houses, cars. I want to collect stories of transformation lives. I want to be part of this. Because life is not about material things. I remember the story of one old couple there from New Zealand, and they would sit in their huge house, they would look at the ocean, and they would ask there some questions. Question, what we have done with our life? We exchange our life for this, for house? There is something more, church. There is something more. We need to dream, we need to think how we can preach the gospel to the people, how we can be part of stories like Vanya. Otherwise, what we're doing? We create our life, you know, this is such a cool life, we have like our routine and stuff, but Jesus is saying in Matthew 16, he is saying, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up my cross and follow me. What does it mean? It means kill your dreams and take mine. Because my ideas and my dreams, they are way bigger than you can even dream. And this is not easy. To follow Jesus is not easy. Sometimes we think, oh, come to the church and Jesus would change your life and you will not have any problems. This is not true. To follow Jesus, it means to go against the stream. To follow Jesus, it means to have different worldview. So follow Jesus, this is the hardest thing ever. But at the same time, this is the best. This is the best. So to finish the story with Vanya and with community places, we understood the next slide, please. that community places, it's working. And we start opening community places in Ivano-Frankivsk, Lviv, Khmelnytsky, Zhytomyr, Kyiv, Sumy, Poltava, Dnipro. We're about to open in Odessa and Lviv as well. We have 7 of them right now, and we are praying to open another 2. Because this is working. Because life been transformed. And we want just to jump in that God is doing. So church, I want to pray with you. Maybe the worship band can come here. But I want to pray and finish this preaching by prayer. And maybe you feel yourself that you are tired of trying, you know? I remember when I visit mission school, I attend mission school, and I remember how on the one day I went to the field and I was just screaming on God, you know? I was really, and I was saying, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why. I tired to hear all these stories, people, how you use people. I tired to read how, about the miracles in other books, but do not see this in my life. I'm tired of this. I want you to use me. I don't want to follow weak God. But you are not. You're not weak. So if you are here, you're like really tired of this. You're tired of trying, you know. I want to pray with you. You can be there. We can, in a sign of honor, we can put our hands heads down, close our eyes. And I will pray for everyone who is ready for a new breath, you know. Who is ready for new level of God's anointing on your life. So you can help me with the music. So Lord, thank you so much for this amazing church, Lord. Thank you so much that you are still the same, Lord. And even that sometimes we don't feel you, it doesn't mean that you are not there. I experienced this in my life. You're always there for me, Lord. But there are some things in my life that can stop me from being using, that you would use me on a different level, Lord. There are some things in my heart or in my life that can stop you, Lord. And I want just to bring this to you. Some sins, something wrong that is inside of my heart. Some corners that I am really scared to look at. And I want to bring this to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be strong enough to bring everything that is dirty in our life to your legs, Lord. So Lord, here we are, and I ask you that you would start this fire in our hearts that would force us to go outside, Lord, and live this life for others, not for us, ourselves, Lord. And it is hard, but it's what's meant to follow you. So, dear Lord, help us. Send us, Lord. I want to be used by you on a different level, Lord. I'm not satisfied by everything I have. Use me. Show us what we are doing wrong. Holy Spirit, remember us. Help us to remember all the things that is stopping you from using us. Because our hearts need to be clean. You said in your word there are a lot of different vessels in your house. Some of them from the woods, some of them from the gold. And you said if we want to be used by you on the different level, we need to clean our vessels. So help us to understand what does it mean personally for each of us. We pray it in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.